Bless you all, saints. Find that it's always a beautiful thing to walk into the house of the Lord. We've been out, not so much in the world, but dealing with the world. To come to a place set aside for the Lord, isn't it just a beautiful thing? And to just feel that holiness and the cleanness of it. And then the conversation isn't about the things of the world, it's about the things of the Lord. And it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. We're truly blessed to have this place set aside for the things of the Lord. Shall we just bow our heads in prayer at this time? Welcome our Lord here. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we come before you once again, Lord. And Lord, how we love your presence, Lord. How we just love the sweetness, Lord. Lord, just to be set aside for you, Lord Jesus. So, Lord Jesus, we just welcome you this morning. Lord, pray that you would come, Lord, and touch each heart, Lord. How wonderful you are, Lord Jesus, that we might just give you thanks and praise this morning for your goodness, Lord, unto us. Lord, even, Lord, the needs that we have, Lord Jesus, even the deep needs of our hearts, Lord Jesus, how you can meet them, Lord. And we praise you and worship you this morning, Lord, and give you all the praise and glory, Lord, and pray a blessing upon the people at this time, Lord, as we come before you in worship and praise, Lord. And just pray a blessing upon the word as it comes forth as well, and welcome you in your precious holy name. Amen and amen. Shall we just stand and sing? We're together again. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Where is my Lord? I'm praising with my hand. I'm praising for his love. Surrounds me like a sea. I'll praise the name of Jesus and I'll praise of Jesus and Jesus with me. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again. Something good is going to happen. Something good is going to happen. Just praising the Lord. Where is my soul? I'm praising with my hand. I'm praising for his love. I'll praise the name of Jesus and praise the name of Jesus and praise the name. Number 372 and Only Believe. You ask me why I'm happy.
You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because I'm in the dark. And when I met the scoffers who asked me where they are, I say, I'm in the dark. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. And fire from darkness is from gold. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Hey, God, my sister, God. Was at the old time of truth, where God came in my heart, and now my sins are gone. The Lord took
No more to remember. Let's sing number 369, I'll Fly Away. Somebody's excited.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away.
I'll fly away.
Won't be too long now. I'm looking forward to it, I can tell you that. Just a few more weary days. Guess I should formally welcome Brother Chris and his wife Emma there. Well, bless you. Welcome. Nice to have you. And I was just thinking earlier, we haven't seen Amor for a while, and here she is now. So praise the Lord. It's nice to see you, Amor. Let's sing number 292, In My Heart. All that.
Where the song that Jesus gave me, it was in the heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody, there's a melody of joy. In my heart there is a melody, there is a melody.
This morning. I see the coasties just walked in. One of them's doing this. None? Okay, we'll have another, sing another song and see what items we've got. Let's sing number 266, Because He Lives. I Can Face Tomorrow. Amen.
God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to life. He lived for Him. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, oh, fear is gone. Because I know, yes, I know, He holds the future. And life is worth.
Just thought I'd mention, I'm pretty sure everything's gone back to normal now, so there will be shared afternoon luncheon in the hall. I'm not seeing any disagreement there, so I must be correct.
Kids in Hiruharama, they love this song. She's a composer, Amu.
Good grief, man.
Kimo, Hiraro, you should stop. Kimo.
Hiru karaitie.
Thank you, Hughes family, and Amor. Was there no other items this morning? None at this time. We're just going to just have an update on Paul's operation. It all went very well. He's recovering well. And Sister Pauline is actually going to be picking him up after the service and taking him home. My understanding was that they didn't think he was going to recover so quickly. Is that correct?
3 to 5 days.
There we go. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. He looks after his own, doesn't he? And we're just going to, I believe this is Sister Angie Brown's, Sister Angie Brown's husband's actually had a fall and hurt his back, so we'll remember him this morning. And have we got an update on Brother Billy McKinstry at all? Brother Billy with the chimney? No more. Was there any other needs in the congregation this morning? You want to bring before the Lord? Certainly we can remember that. Some of these things can get extremely complicated, can't they? And it's a lot of stress on people. So we're certainly bringing it before the Lord. With diabetes, wasn't it? You certainly remember him. Any others? Absolutely, you can remember. The Lord knows all, and he can certainly undertake about unspoken prayer requests. So confide by raised hand. Just going to bring these in, then we'll ask Julian Mill to bring the item. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we come before you once again, Lord. Lord, nothing in our hands we bring, Lord, but simply to the cross we cling, Lord. And we come through your precious blood, Lord, this morning boldly before your throne of grace, Lord. Knowing, Lord, we can come no other way, Lord, but that you had poured out, Lord, your life on the cross for us, Lord, and paid for our healing as well, Lord, so we just claim these needs before you this morning, Lord. First of all, Lord, we just say thank you for answered prayer, Lord. We don't want to be like those lepers who took off, Lord, and didn't turn back to pray, give you thanks, Lord Jesus. So this morning, Lord, for answered prayer, we just say thank you, Lord. But we just bring these needs before you once again this morning, Lord, knowing that you can do the things, Lord, that we can't, Lord. And even the surgeons, Lord Jesus, they can move the knife, Lord, but it's you that does the healing, Lord Jesus. So we just look to you this morning for each one, Lord, in the details of them, Lord, the stress it causes people, Lord, and the mental, Lord, stress itself, Lord, alone is an issue in itself, Lord. And we just bring them before you, Lord. Each hand that was raised as well, Lord Jesus, this morning for unspoken needs, Lord. The burdens we have on our heart this morning, Lord, you know each one, Lord Jesus, and we just remember them before you, Lord. And Lord, even the hands that didn't go up, Lord, we do have needs on our hearts, Lord, that, Lord, only you can undertake, Lord, and the deep issues of our hearts, Lord. And we commit each thing into your heart, into your hands this time, Lord Jesus, giving you all the praise and all the glory for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to ask Brother Chris to bring a greeting, but I'll ask Shirley and Mill to bring the item at this time. And then I'll ask Brother Chris to bring it if he doesn't mind.
me guides my every footstep. He leads me through the valley dark and dreary. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. Jesus will lead me through eternity. He said he'd come again to catch his bride away, to be with him one glorious day on streets of pure together, hand in hand, to walk with him upon the golden strand. He is my rock, the God of my salvation, and through the trials he leads me there. I'm waiting now with great anticipation for his return on that reunion day. He said he'd come again to catch his bride away, on streets of pure gold, together hand in hand, to walk with him upon the golden strand. The saints will see our Lord descend from heaven to take his bride and be with him forevermore. What great joy and excitement that awaits us. Then we shall leave this troubled world behind. He said he'd come again to catch his bride away, to be with him one glorious day, to walk on pure gold together hand in hand, to walk with him upon the golden. We'll walk with him upon the golden thread.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And he keeps his promises. So we know. Got nothing to worry about. Thank you, Brother Chris, if you wouldn't mind bringing a greeting. Sorry about the little bit jumble up.
God bless you, saints. It's good to be with everybody. Just a little update. Em and I, well, before the Lord, we got married on March the 23rd. And we got married last week in the papers in Taranaki last week on Saturday. So I want to thank God for that. And I just want to thank God for keeping us in this hour and our eyes on the Lord. You know, the first week of lockdown, it's human nature, I guess. I was kind of overstocking on food and just, you know, just the flesh was getting in the way. And but I realized that it was a spirit of fear. And I said, Satan, you have no right All right, and you know, we're always in check, you know, and it's just amazing and how we're all at home, and you know, we could get in the habit of drinking coffee while listening to the service, and maybe not dressing nice on Sundays at home, just at home, and nobody else is around but your family, or just your family at home, right? But the Lord certainly did some correcting. The first Sunday service at home, I was just sitting in just some plain clothes on a Sunday morning. The Lord convicted my heart. I stopped it. I changed. I got dressed properly. And I just entered right into worship, you know. And thank God, eh? The Lord really loves us, you know. He's so alive. And when we listen to His voice, He just speaks so clearly. And I'm just so thankful that this... the zeal of God is inside of us, and He's literally flowing through us. And it's because of our desire. He sees our desire. We want to seek Him with all our heart. And even though trials come, they can only go so far. And we are victorious in Him. So let's just keep our eyes on Him. The Lord bless you. Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Chris. It's a blessing to have you here as well. And then let's, we'll just have one more, and then I'll ask Brother Harold to come. Let's sing number 613, There's a Light in the Window.
There's a light in the window, able to bring the stranger. Someone standing by your I can see the crystal river. I must be here forever. Turning and going, drifting along. I see the bright light. It's at the battle ground. I can see the Father standing. This world may be the world of the living, and I'm ready for the living. Lord, I've never been able to live before. I can see the family gathering, faces all familiar.
You look like a people who's homesick. You don't belong here, do you? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise be to God. I'm just going to make an apology to Brother Taz why he's not playing a saxophone. Normally he would always play it, but he's got a sore lip. So you're excused, brother. Yeah, I said, where's your saxophone this morning? He said, he showed me how to cut lip or something. I don't know what he's been doing. But praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God, as Brother Tim said? Really good. We just pray that God will speak to our hearts today and bring some things to our hearts that we need to know, that I need to know, I need to know. You know, it's not just for you, it's for me as well, you know. So I just pray that God will do that for us and help us this morning. Praise be to God. Well, it's quite a crowd here this morning. I'm not used to this. But that's good. That's good. I think we're just getting clocking up there to 40. That's wonderful. So, because I counted them. And David was told not to count Israel, so I really shouldn't have done that. But we're speaking about David today, and I pray that you'll be blessed and encouraged through this very tragic story. And I wonder if we could stand for reading God's word from 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm so glad to hear about Brother Paul doing so well in his recovery. That is good news, Sister Pauline. And God will complete it.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 1. And the Lord said to sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there are two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and laid in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man, he said. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anoint thee king over Israel, and delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that being too little, I would moreover have given unto thee much and such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. May God bless the reading. I just want to read one other scripture reading. It's found in Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art,
that judgest, and wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. And we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? May God bless his word. I pray that God will speak to our hearts. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we come to thee, our loving Heavenly Father, the one that died for us at Calvary. You gave up your all that we may live. And we say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. When the most of the world are lost, you have come down and revealed yourself to us as our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord. May you speak to us through your word today, Lord. May I challenge our hearts afresh. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For your glory we do it, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. It may seem a strange title to the sermon. But the title is this: Thou Art the Man. David wasn't expecting that. No. We see here, we need to first examine this horrendous sin and events surrounding it. It's really scary to see such a wonderful and great man of God fall into such a trap. For indeed, it was a trap. That should make us all vigilant and sober. As serious as a sin is, that is not really the center of the subject this morning. But we will cover that briefly. We become tired. Who gets tired? Well, everybody. When we get tired and distracted, that's when we lower our guard. I know that for a fact. The story goes in 2 Samuel 11:2, you can read it. King David was not at battle with his men out on the fighting. He decided to stay home. Maybe weary from the battles, he took a rest. You know, let me say this, brother and sister, when you take a rest, you've got to be careful with rests. They get you in the wrong mode. In the Bible, we've read it many times, the prophet and the man of God, you know, he sat down under a tree. That's where he made his mistake. God said, go straight home. But he sat down under a tree. We see the same thing in Pilgrim's Progress when they got onto the enchanted ground. They were not to rest, because if they rested, they couldn't wake up again. So these things are really good to know. Be careful when you take a rest, if you know what I mean. You can take a rest, of course, but be aware of the issues when we do that. And when he was at home and lying on his bed, because the Bible said he was, he's having a little snooze in the afternoon. He had idle time. And when you get idle time, that's troublesome too. He had idle time on his hands, and he wandered onto his rooftop of the palace. And when he is up on the top of the roof, I'm just paraphrasing this, you can read it yourself. And he saw next door the neighbor bathing. Not a good thing. We pick it up in 2 Samuel 11. It came to pass in the evening time that David rose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You talk about a trap. Now, firstly, David departed from the word of the Lord. He knew the Ten Commandments, but it's got to be more than knowing the Ten Commandments. You need to do them. Anything God shows you in His Word, you need to do it. Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And the commandment was in Exodus 20:17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And he started to covet her. The minute we depart from God's word, trouble lieth at the door. The minute you do it, trouble lieth at the door. And David ordered her to spend an evening with him. And she conceived that evening. She got back to David and said, I'm with child. Now, this was a very serious matter. The king of Israel was caught in this terrible sin. And David, knowing that this woman, her name was Bathsheba, knowing that Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, was away in battle, faithfully serving the Lord, faithfully serving David, he had a problem. And desiring to cover up his sin, David ordered her husband back from the battle line, hoping he would go inside that night with his wife Bathsheba and all would be well. You know, that's how the devil does things. He thinks he can cover up this situation. But alas, being a faithful servant of the Lord, he did not go back to his wife, but he slept on the doorstep in the palace with the servants. When he got back to David's ears, he said, oh my, this is not good. Because he wanted to make it look like he had conceived with his wife, as she had conceived with her husband, Uriah. But it didn't happen. So David tried another trick to cover up his sin. He got Uriah to come for supper that night, and he got him drunk. And he thought if he's drunk, he'll just go home and, you know. But alas, he stayed again on the doorstep with the king's servants at the palace. He did not go home. Now, David's sweating it out because this is a great reproach on him as the king. All the people, if it gets out, what David's up to, it'd be terrible. In desperation, David sent Uriah back to the battle. And he gave him a letter to take back to the chief captain of the troops, Joab. He took the letter and gave it to Uriah. And in the letter, it said this: I want you to put Uriah, I want you to put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle. You know, let me say this. I feel really bad having to say this about David, because I love him. He's my brother. The Lord's going to sit on his throne one day. To just show you how dangerous things can become. Put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle, and when the battle's raging, withdraw the men around them. Pull them out and let them be killed. And then the message would come back, Uriah died in battle. David would be free. Today, we call that action premeditated murder. Who agrees? Premeditated murder. Now they say, well, the enemy killed him. No, the Lord said, David, you killed him through the enemy. It says clearly that. So why did David do that? To cover up his sin with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba. So David felt his cover-up was working at that point. But the Lord of heaven sees everything. And the Lord sent down his servant. He sent him down, Nathan, to take a message to David with a little story, a parable which the Lord likes to use. And we're going to read it again so it'll help you to understand. The Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, and one rich, that's King David, and the other poor, that's Uriah. The rich man had exceeding many flocks, David did, and herds. But the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and laid in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. That was Bathsheba. So this parable is very clear. Of course, David at this point didn't see what the story was about. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger, his spiritual righteous indignation stirred in him. And it was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this, which was David, shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. David was speechless. Thou art the man. You are the one that has done this evil, cruel thing and taken this little lamb. When you've got a whole flock of them, David had 500 wives. He stole this lamb off Uriah. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, God speaking directly to David. I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Therefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon in battle. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. This, without going any more into it, was a very evil thing. Who agrees? Very. Top of the list. This is so evil. It's full of evil things. But I just want to say this. God forgave him. And he forgave us. He's forgiven us of every sin. We should be very thankful for the mercy of God. He just forgave him like that. Seed of David. In the world today, we're a part of David's seed too through Christ Jesus our Lord. May God be merciful to each of us. What a tremendous shock to David, king of Israel. But we want to think of ourselves here. Without reading the scripture again, let us just paraphrase something. David was indeed called and blessed of God. Who agrees? We love his writings. We love reading the Psalms, Proverbs, and all those, not Proverbs, but all the scriptures that he wrote. So we're not talking about a heathen man, quite the contrary. David was taken from the sheepfold by God and anointed king of Israel. David worshipped the Lord with all his heart. He really did. David loves the Lord. Who believes that? He loved him. Look at the Psalms. You can tell he just adored the Lord. He thirsted day and night for his presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David was not playing church. He's a committed man of God, a prophet, prophesied what was happening on Calvary thousands of years later. And yet this happened. That's a warning to you and I. But he allowed himself, it doesn't take long, he allowed himself to be overtaken with his flesh. The flesh warreth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're two opposites. If you're hungry for God, the flesh says, I'm hungry for this. It's an awful thing. But the Lord has given us the victory. He has given him power over all flesh, the Bible says. And he had an eye for Bathsheba, his neighbor, which consumed him. The thing to point out was, as I said before, he already had many wives. But he was not satisfied. You know, the scripture says to be content with such things as you have in Hebrews 13:5. Be content with such things as you have. Now, God sees everything. We just said that a minute ago. He sees everything. But nothing goes past the Lord. You know, never forget that. God sees what you're thinking this morning. You cannot hide from the Lord this morning. God sees all, and it's all bare before him. As I said before, this is not the thought behind the message, but I wanted to just say this. when the Lord sent Nathan the prophet to David, Nathan gave a very accurate parable of David. Oh boy, it wasn't accurate. And when David heard it, he was very angry and immediately came down in judgment of the guilty party. He must die. He was putting the sentence on himself. Didn't realize it. As we just read a minute ago. Why is it, this is what I'm coming to now, why is it that we are so hard on each other? And yet we often are so guilty ourselves. Now, brother and sister, you know, when I was a younger person, I remember I used to be so critical of people. I really was. I used to think, man, what's wrong with them, you know. And I say that to my shame and humiliation and repentance before God. I have changed by the grace of my Lord dramatically. I say this very humbly and shamefully. But I remember I was a young person, I see an old man hobbling along the road like this. I used to laugh. I tell you, God dealt with me. How dare you do that? That poor man needs help. And you're laughing at him. And children, they laugh at children. Children laugh at children. You've seen it in schools and everywhere. It's such an evil thing. We judge wrongfully. And when David heard the story of this horrendous crime, he was quick to put to death somebody else. Roy's quick to judge somebody else. They need to be judged. They need to be dealt with. And the word comes back, thou art the man. Thou art the woman. Thou art the boy. Thou art the girl. Can't do it. As David found out. And this is where our second scripture comes in. In Romans 2, 1 to 4. Wherefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Question. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering? Who's glad God's long suffering with you? I am so glad. Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Brothers and sisters, you cannot even repent without God giving it to you. That's what he said. So I'm very grateful if a spirit of repentance comes upon me. I'm very grateful. You cannot conjure that up. You cannot work up repentance. God gives it. So say, thank you, Lord, for giving me repentance. I should have never done that, Lord. I truly want your forgiveness. And he will forgive you. Isn't that wonderful? He always forgives. I don't care what you've done. God will forgive you. Have you asked him? And you had the sorrow in your heart that you did what you did. That's because God loves you. He puts that sorrow and that repentance in your heart. I love him for it. Hallelujah. It's only by the mercy of God that anyone of us can find repentance. Why are we claiming to be so spiritually mature? Oh, we love to use the word, that brother's spiritually mature. By examining and judging others for their mistakes. And we're all full of mistakes. Have you noticed? We've all got mistakes. Of course we have. So why judgest thou thy brother? And why we speak about the faults of our brothers and sisters or whoever. Even the world. Be careful you don't judge the world. They don't know. They need help. You should be loving them, praying for them, that they'll find repentance and come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we speak, God interrupts us and says, thou art the man. You are the one that's guilty. Or the sister, or the boy, or the girl, or whoever it may be. It was a major shock to David and called for great repentance, which he greatly repented. There's one thing David knew what to do. He knew how to repent. And the goodness of God gave David repentance. God was really impressed with that attribute in David. He said, David, you're a man after my own heart. He was no fool. David faced up to his responsibilities. He did with Bathsheba. And God forgave him. They lost the child. That was like a spanking from the Lord. God can forgive you, but he can also chasten you. It was a major shock to David, and the repentance followed. So we come to the question, what about us? We can look at David, we can look at many examples in the Bible. We can look at Peter. Peter messed up badly when he denied the Lord. After speaking a beautiful, matured speech from an apostle of the Lord, I'll never deny thee. I'll go with thee all the way. I'll even die with you. And all the disciples said, yes, Brother Peter, we will too. And the Lord turned to David and said, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. You talk about brothers getting shocked at the statement of God's word. And he did. Not with a priest. Not with somebody on the street. These people came, little girls, little maidens. Said, you know this man, Jesus. I know not the man. Oh, my. He changed his tune from a few hours ago. Another one came in, a little girl, and said to him, you even sound like, you got the accent, you got the right accent, you're one of this group. And he started to fume and curse and lie. Who was he? One of the greatest apostles. See how you got to be really careful. And you know what the story says? Peter went out and wept bitterly. God gave him repentance. Isn't that wonderful? Judas denied his Lord and betrayed him. But no repentance. It wasn't in there. So he went out and hung himself. You see, brothers and sisters, God shows mercy to you to repent. It's by the goodness of God that he leadeth you to repentance. Aren't you glad of that? Say amen. Amen. This is not meant to be a sad message. This is meant to be a happy message. Who loves the Lord? It's what He has done for us. So it's in you. It's already in you. You're already a sinner. You became a sinner the day you were born. The Bible says you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world, speaking lies. You didn't become a sinner, you were born one. And your life demonstrated from a very young age, when you told your first fib, that you were born a sinner. It's in you to do it. So we see that these brothers, David, king of Israel, the Lord shall sit on the throne of David. He had great love for David beyond what we could understand. Peter, who gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven to unlock the door to the children on the day of Pentecost, gave him the keys. He failed badly. Really badly. If I heard that, Brother Lee, I'm going to choose him as my brother. I heard that he denied the Lord, publicly denied him and lied to everybody and swore. Why be around the church like that? Lee, can you believe this? Lee did this. But you know what? Lee would have gone out and repented. I believe that. You know what else happened? When Jesus rose from the dead, and there was Peter with the disciples, really morbid, in the corner, sulking, and feeling very bad. And all the disciples saying, he was a leader. But look what he's done. We've got no confidence in him. When the Lord from heaven came down to appear to his disciples when he arose from the dead, he sent down two angels. He said, I want you to go down to the tomb. I want you to tell these sisters something. You tell them, telling the angel, you tell them that I've risen from the dead, and I'll go before you, and I'm going to meet with you. You tell them, and I want you to note this angel, Peter. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And the sisters came running into the with the disciples all gathered together, and they're all just there, don't know what to do. And there was Peter in the corner feeling very badly, and everyone knowing what he had done. They said, the Lord has risen indeed, and the angels have told us to come and tell you. And Peter, they said, you too. Peter spun around and said, did he say my name? They said, yes, Peter. And that despondent Peter was plugged into God like that. God cares. You love the Lord, say amen. He cares for each one of us. We mess up and make these terrible things. Just remember, God cares for you. It's just so wonderful. Oh, I just get so wrung out when I think of these stories. Because they're so precious to me. What, look, a total disaster. God knows how to fix you up. Who believes God can fix you up?
Amen.
Brother Hockey, is that you there? I didn't even see you there, brother. God bless you. God can fix you too. He can help us all. He careth for you. Yes, He, June, careth for you. Through sunshine or shadow, He careth for you. Oh, He careth for you.
sunshine or shadow, He cares for you.
See, David had a big shadow come over his life. The boy that used to sing with the sheep and the harp, giving praise to God, and love God with all his soul, and anointed to be king of Israel by the prophet. Anointed. He was anointed. The power of God, the Shekinah presence of God was with David. This is what I say, brother and sister. Let us realize this. We can be blessed of God, but we've got to be walk carefully. Watch our words. Watch our tongues. Don't judge, because you don't know the truth. Peter was the same. God came and mercifully plugged him back in. Did he mention my name? Yes. I just think that's so wonderful. Who thinks that's wonderful? Just one of the nicest stories in the Bible. And they're not actually recorded together. The first event happened, and then chapters on, in a completely different place, it tells a story. Go tell my disciples and Peter that I care and that I have risen. Peter must have been so thrilled to think that Jesus thought of him up there. And you know what? He's thinking of you up there right now. He knows your name. He knows your need. And he wants to bless you and he wants to help you. Even though thou art the man, thou art the sister, it doesn't matter. He's not there to condemn you. He'll give you, cause you to do the right thing by placing his love in your heart for him. You'll run from it. You'll run from those things. Judge not, that we be not judged. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. May the Lord grant us a true Holy Ghost experience. God will be merciful to us all. Who wants more of God? I just want to say this again. If you want more of God, raise your hand now. Because God's watching. He's watching from heaven. He knows. It's just really wonderful how God does that. The Bible says about Moses, he hadn't met God, he'd killed an Egyptian. Here's another one. They're all over the place. And he was in the wilderness. And he saw the fire up on the hill. And the Bible says clearly, and God saw Moses when he turned aside to see. He sees everything you do. He knows what you want. He knows what you're looking for. And he knows if you're not interested. He knows that too. But I believe we're interested. Who's interested? Oh, may God kindle that fire. Oh, I must say the fire. There's a dear sister. Many years ago, she worked as a servant girl in a big home, a big house, a big mansion place. And one great minister went to that place and sat down. I think it might have been, I don't know whether it's Smith Wigglesworth or somebody like that. I can't remember. I was trying to find the name. And he watched this little girl carrying a bucket of coal. Early hours of the morning, it was freezing. And this little girl went to every room. She lit the fire. She got the fires going. That was her job. And she carried the bucket of coal with her. And Brother Wigglesworth, or whoever it was, he noticed something about this little girl. There's something different about her. He says, "Sister, just come here for a minute. Do you love the Lord?" She said, "Oh, yes, I do, Brother Wigglesworth. I love her with all my heart." "And what do? You do this every morning?" "Yes." And she says, "When I'm lighting the fire, getting the fire to go every morning," she says, "I always pray a prayer." He said, "What's that prayer?" So I'm lighting the fire, kindling the flame of the fire. I say, Lord, as I kindle this flame, will you kindle your love in my heart that it may grow? Isn't that beautiful? That's what I want. This thing he careth for you. God cares this morning as we close. He careth for you. He careth for you. Through sunshine or shadow, He careth for you. Yes, He careth for you. Hallelujah. Don't you love Him? Raise your hands to God. Tell Him what you think of Him. Yes, Lord. All through sunshine or shadow, He cares for you. I just want to say, brothers and sisters, you out there around the world, listening to the service, viewing it, watching it on audio in Africa, in Zambia, in the villages, wherever you are, on the radio, it's been broadcast. God cares for you. He really does care for you. Doesn't matter how you've been stricken down. Maybe you've been attacked by the virus and all that. I want to say something. He cares for you. God knows how to do it. Yes, He. Anybody want prayer? Just come. You. Yes, He. What number? Okay. My wife's got a song. We're going to sing it by now. That's what we want. Clean heart.
And renew a right spirit within me. Created me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me.
Dave's prayer.
Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore.
We say this, brothers and sisters, what we need is the Holy Ghost. We want the Holy Spirit to abide with us. Don't get out of sorts with God. Don't go on foreign territory. Don't be in places you shouldn't be in. Keep the Holy Spirit in you. We need His presence. We need His sweetness and power. Brothers, don't let it drift away from you. I'm sure David had many blessed times after that terrible experience. God came down and filled with the Holy Ghost afresh. Who wants to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Say, Lord, I want this experience. Oh, Jesus, will you come, Lord? We love you and we praise you. We glorify you. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's David's prayer to the Bible. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's sing this once more. Anybody wants to pray, you're free to come now.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Let's sing it now.
Cast me not away from thy presence.
Let's sing it once more.
Last line, renew a right spirit within me. How do you understand that? How do you judge that? Well, the Bible actually tells us there's a still, small voice in your heart. Right now, whether you're here in this auditorium or you're in Africa or America or Ireland, wherever you are, you know, there's something quiet. It's not in your head that, oh, yes, I know about that, I know about that. Just go down and right in your heart, you feel that little, still, small voice. I know for me, it's Jesus Christ that's doing it. That is what we need to respond to. Not a head knowledge. It's a heartfelt experience. Praise the Lord. Let's sing one more, and then we'll close. Number 28, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Let not your heart be troubled. We believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, know that you're here. We can feel your presence. That's what we expected when we came into service. And we feel your presence. And it doesn't have to be in this auditorium only. It's whoever wants to feel the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are open to it. God will make himself available to you wherever you are. At any time, and that's what we need to do. Lord, I just see that the songs that we sing, the hymns, the choruses, if we could only tell people the words that we are singing is exactly what they need to receive. We get it from the Bible, and that's the truth. That's the absolute, is the Bible. Help us to believe what we read. And then feel it confirmed by the Holy Spirit that touches our heart. Not the churches, not somebody else, not even your family. It's you. And all the others will come. Lord, we just thank you for this. We just know that we just worship the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no greater name without you, Lord. There's no way that we could have eternal life. That you have provided it by giving your life. You went and died on the cross of Calvary to save each one of us. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for brothers and sisters around the world, wherever we are, Lord, we thank you. Lord, just bless our fellowship. Bless all of those that listen in. We thank you, Lord, for the luncheon we're about to have. Bless it to us. We thank you, Lord, prepare the hearts. I thank you, Lord, for those that prepared the meal in the holy name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to receive and to consider the things that have been spoken this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing, As You Go, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Do you believe in God? Believe it also in me.
Let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, the I would.
there.